June 14, 1987, and Mom and Ermgard and Leon and I are sitting and talking about our family's history in Germany.
I'm Ruth, Ruth Heilbrunn. We're talking about old times. My maiden name was Katzenstein. I came from Gaudenheim in Rheinhessen. I don't know what to talk about. The bad times started in 31, 32, 33. I came from a part of the country where there was lots of Hitlerism. It started very, very early. So my oldest brother, Alfred, left very early. He had an opportunity to go to America. Very serious accidents happened at that time. They attacked the gymnastic club. People got hurt and people started to think of going to a different country. Whoever had a chance to go to America went to America. Oldest brother, Alfred, went first, and shortly afterwards Hans went to Israel. I followed. At that time, Palestine. I was considering going to America, but as long as you had to follow the number way, it took a long time. I got my okay in 1938. There was a lot going on, and everybody who possibly could get away went away. Some of us felt it wasn't so bad and we could take our time and maybe it would go away. But it got worse from 1 month to another. I got my papers in 38 and left in 38.
Things kept getting worse and worse. What was happening?
Well, Jewish people couldn't continue school, they couldn't continue where they worked, they were let go. You couldn't belong to no organization, only if it was from your temple or any Jewish organization. Others, you could not join up anymore. You couldn't be seen with Gentile people, or their life was in danger too.
Ermgard Ellison. This is about 48 years later when it happened. So it's like a little dream or nightmare we're going to go through. Let's start when I was going to high school. And in the third year, my cousin and myself were thrown out of it. The only reason given was that we were Jews. This was one point. At another time, think about what can happen to almost anybody for religious reason or whatever. I had to go to a dentist, I had a toothache. They usually used to babysit for them. When I came, he said to me, you know, I cannot take care of you anymore, but let me take a look. And he pulled out a good tooth, and I never forgave him for that. It could only be that I could only go to him once. That was it. Skipping a few years up to 1938, that's the time of the pogroms and the Kristallnacht, as we all very well know it by now, have been taught. We were warned days before my dad, from a young man who was a Nazi, but still they were family friends. At the time he didn't know any different. Came to my dad, came to the house and said, "Mr. Katzenstein, take your family and leave." We didn't know why he said it. He said, "Yes, we are going to leave, but we can't leave until our number comes up, because America had a quota. Our number was 18,000 something. He said, "No, leave." He thought he was kidding. He found out 2 days later he wasn't. As they came in trucks with clubs and sticks and whatever they had, stormed the house, and this young man took my dad upstairs. The rest of them drove my mother and myself out of the house and did whatever they could to destroy everything in the house. We never thought we would see my dad alive again. As we came back in after they left, my dad came down from the upstairs and said, "I'm okay. They didn't touch me." He told us about this young man who helped. We were in desperate despair that day. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what happened to anybody else. We went to the station with a little suitcase, overnight case, and thought we'd go to the next big city, which was Mainz am Rhein. But got to the station, we found the station full of Jews, all in the same way as we were, fleeing from their home. A young lady who I went to school with said, "Don't stop here. As bad as you can imagine. The synagogues are burning. Everything is being destroyed. So the next best way we could think of was Frankfurt am Main, where an uncle, a brother of my mother lived, who had left our town about 2 years before with a family. As we got to my Uncle Joseph's house, another uncle from Baden-Baden, at that time owned the Tannhäuser Hotel, was vacationing with his wife. The men were at that time already hiding at night in the basement because the Gestapo was looking for every Jew who was around to collect them, or whatever you want to call them. So the first night we were there, we hear the knock on the door. As we open, the Gestapo is standing there asking for the man of the house. My aunt said she doesn't know where he is. The answer was she better find him by the next day or the women and children will be taken. After they left, the men came upstairs, decided that they would give themselves up. The next morning the Gestapo came and the men came upstairs and the name were taken down, and my dad, I never will forget, asked one of them, "Why are you taking us in?" He was told, "You're a Jew, that's good enough for us." If dad would have been on the street, nobody would have known him, because he looked as Aryan as anybody. The men had taken to Buchenwald, and as they came to concentration camp, I think we all know that by now, and as the men were coming down off the trucks, dad was hit over the head and was beaten so sorely that for the next 2 weeks my uncles didn't even recognize him, because there was no way of washing down the blood or anything. But thank God, after, I don't know, remember exactly, after 3 or 4 weeks, they all came home. And now we had to begin all over again. We went back to Gaudenheim, to see if he could salvage anything. But everything had been taken already. And we left, and we started all over again, Frankfurt am Main. We had, if I remember correctly, we shared an apartment, having two little Stuben, and this apartment for ourselves. And waited for our number to be called. And eventually in 1940, we got our visa. That was one thing, to get the visa. But another thing was to get out of the country, because all the borders started closing up. And the only one left open was over Russia. Now you had to get a pass to go into Russia. And that, at that time, the highest was very active. And Dad went to the highest. He left Frankfurt am Main, went to Berlin, trying to get things fast and done. But every day he was told, not yet. He eventually got tired being there by himself, and he asked Mom and myself to join him. And as we went to Berlin, and again, from day to day, we went to the highest, and from day to day, we were told, not yet. So I said to Dad, let's go ourselves and see what can happen. And we went to the consul, and we stood with many, many other Jews. And somehow, when one of the Russian consuls came to the door, he was a giant of a man, young man, and somehow saw me at the end of the line and asked me to step forward. And I did, and he said in German and asked me what I wanted. And I told him that we had our visa and we had to get out, and we wanted to have our okay and our passport to go over Russia. And he said, come back tomorrow morning. And we did. And he stamped our book. And that's when we could leave good old Germany behind. I think I can read what my sister will read, what Mother wrote in a little booklet from the day we left. The following morning, we went back to the highest, to the office, to tell them that they didn't need to bother about us anymore. They looked at us and said, how come? I said, we got our passport stamped from the Russian embassy, and we're leaving today. We flew from Berlin in separate planes, since we couldn't get on one plane, Mother and Dad on one, and I'm on another one. It wasn't a happy occasion either, because we didn't think we would see one another again. But thank God, we all ended up in Moscow. And Moscow was very, very, very warm to us. The first man we spoke to spoke in Yiddish. Father could converse with him. Didn't mean that I could understand him, but that was the first time I heard Yiddish. We stayed in Moscow in a very fine hotel. At that time we saw the very famous subway of Moscow, which is world famous. My dad, who only came with one or two shirts, went to the department store in Moscow, which is an interesting story by itself, because it's all handled by the government. Everybody's working for the government. And he bought, I think, himself two shirts. They had no colors on it. The colors came separate from the shirt. But he had two extra shirts to go with. From Moscow, we took the Siberian train, which was a two-week trip. And we didn't travel first class, neither did we travel second class, because we wanted to save some money. My sister and my brothers had scraped together in America, and we took and exchanged our tickets to third class, which were wooden benches. And we slept on wooden benches for 2 weeks. We managed. My mother came with the leg which she had broken just before that, which was healing it. It was a rough fight, but we made it. At night, you could not look out of the window. You had to draw the little drapes, because all along there was a Russian with a guns pointed at the train, because everybody was ready to go into war, I guess, at that time. We made it to Manchuria. In Manchuria we had to take a boat. No, from Vladivostok. I'm getting myself my thoughts a little mixed up. From Vladivostok in Russia, we took a fishing boat, I think it was, a small boat, over to Manchuria. And it was a difficult time, and I need to talk about it, what happened in a hotel we stayed, because the bathroom tissue was not only used by you, but it was a family kind of an affair, and I don't know, maybe the other ones before that too. But Manchuria took the train, as far as I remember, and ended up in Kobe. In Kobe, we were welcomed by the Jewish committee. There were a number of Jews living in Kobe, and they had formed a very good committee. But we got there, and we were told our ship had just left the harbor. Well, there was no other ship going out for the next 2 weeks, and our visa, had we made that ship and we would have been on the ocean, that would have meant we were on American soil. But we never made it. We were stuck in Kobe for 3 months. And my mother was keeping house, cooking for about 30 or 35 people every single day, in order for us to live without using our own little $10 which we had as our traveling money.